Anybody caught in a tunnel or underground in the trains has got to be in real distress given the weather. Norman's in our studio with us right now. Tell us what happened.
I was in the Lincoln Tunnel when the lights went out.
And I said to myself, so this is how it ends, because I knew the tunnels and bridges had been a target of terrorists, and I was just waiting for the water to fill up. But we opened on our headlights and high beams, and we illuminated the way, and we made our way out. Getting into New York, into Manhattan, on the other side, it was pandemonium.
You were coming from New Jersey into Manhattan?
Yes, coming to work the afternoon shift.
And this only happened about 40 minutes ago. I'm surprised you're here.
Well, I used all my New York driving skills.
You mowed everybody down.
What was it like in that tunnel? I mean, obviously, what you're describing, there was no panic. Seems fairly orderly.
It was orderly. It was very scary, though. And when we got out, the Port Authority police were all over. And then the police and the traffic agents, the brownies, were at all the intersections waving us on. And everybody had their sirens on and whooping up. I made it up 11th Avenue, honking and beeping, flashing my brights. And I pulled into the first parking meter I saw and just abandoned my car and came in. And it was pitch black in here.
I was going to say, did you have to walk? You couldn't take the elevator, right?
Here. I'm holding on my little flashlight. My
emergency. Yellow flashlight, which is a good thing to have. And, well, you came out of the Lincoln Tunnel around 40th Street and drove here to West 57th Street. So you've done about 16 blocks in traffic with no lights. What is that like on the city streets?
Well,
right now?
I've been driving in New York for 35, 40 years, so I'm used to combative situations. But it was pretty chaotic, and it was pandemonium.
Yeah. Did you get to talk to any of the other drivers who were in this predicament with you?
We just looked at each other in the Lincoln Tunnel and shook our heads. And when I came into the building here, I guess we're on emergency power.
Yeah, we are.
Most of the other building, the CBS complex here on 57th Street, pitch black, no air conditioning. You couldn't see a foot in front of you.
All right. Norman Gittleson of CBS News Up to the Minute, who was in the Lincoln Tunnel.
And I think you should sit down and take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath and put four stars on that flashlight. And thanks for coming up here and walking up as well to the eighth floor where we are.
WCBS News Time 4:57. Let's go live now to a brand new CBS reporter. We were going to get to him earlier, but Martin DeCaro is standing by on West 57th Street. Right, Martin?
Yes, that's right, Pat and Tony. I'm actually inside a third-floor apartment owned by a jazz musician by the name of Chris Flory. Cell phones aren't working. It's easy to tell when you go outside. Hundreds of people are all over the sidewalks complaining aloud that their cell phones won't work. So I wasn't able to contact the newsroom, and Chris was nice enough to let me inside his apartment. I'm using an old rotary phone, and he described what happened when he was chilling out in his apartment around 4:30.
Well, about 4:20, I was in my apartment, and the lights first dimmed, and then went almost down to nothing, and they came back up for a minute, and all the motors, the fans, and everything started slowing down and speeding up. And then after about 15 seconds of that, they gradually went out to nothing.
And he went outside like everybody else. No sense staying inside with no air conditioning. The intersections are fairly chaotic, but people seem to be easing into them. No traffic lights at all still, but folks seem to be easing into them too much. They understand that the situation doesn't call for aggressive driving, so it's not every man for himself out there, but still use caution when approaching an intersection. Same with pedestrians. People seem to be having some fun trying to dart in and out of cars, but not the best thing to do. So folks are basically by the hundreds lining up outside, all asking the same question, what happened? What happened?
All right, in the midst of our coverage of this major power outage in the city, we do want to update you on traffic and weather and
everything.
And everything else.
Tom Kaminsky, first of all, in the traffic center. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, we've established communication back here at Linden Airport, so we are currently able to get this line out, and currently the only reports that we are getting are of some massive delays right around the area of the Brooklyn Bridge, Lower East River Bridge. A lot of the intersections in Lower Manhattan at this point are very close to being gridlocked. We have very heavy delays there. Also, heavy delays at least 30 minutes at the outbound side of the Lincoln and Holland tunnels, and certainly there are going to be issues there with the lanes and toll plazas and toll lanes being closed. At this point, we don't have any reports of problems yet on the Garden State Parkway or at the New Jersey Turnpike, but certainly at the toll plazas, you would imagine that there may be some areas affected. And one other note for you, Tony and Pat, if you are in the vicinity of Newark Airport, and we've gotten a number of calls about
out.
now, but
seeing a lot of smoke. Expect highs in the upper 80s and low 90s to gradually settle back into the lower 70s by Friday morning with a clear day. Sunshine and hot tomorrow, highs around 90 again. From the Weather Channel, Charlie Sill, WCBS 880 News.
All right, currently in the city, it is
88 degrees with 55% humidity, sunny skies in the city. And recapping our top story, major power outage hitting the eastern seaboard, New York, Detroit, Cleveland, parts of Canada, including Toronto, also in the dark.
In Connecticut, Metro North trains are not running, and officials say the trains have stopped between stations. City Hall is operating on a backup generator at this point in Manhattan, and City Hall does have power, although most electricity, including the air conditioners, had been shut off.
Masses of people walking home and walking all over the city, walking across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Southern New Jersey is reporting no power outages at this time, although we do hear that there is no power throughout many of the major cities in New York State, in Toronto, in Ottawa, Detroit, Cleveland, and Hartford. Also, no buses, trains, or subways running in Manhattan at the moment.
And we're told that the airports are affected, but they are operating on backup generator power. So if you have to go anyplace, well, it's going to be hard to get to the airport. But if you think you can get there, you better check with your airline first, because the airports are working on backup power. No traffic lights in the city. And joining us now in the studio is another one of our employees, Gretchen Weinkamp, who was in the subway system. Where, Gretchen?
Subway at 34th and 6th, right by Penn Station.
And what was that like?
Everything was fine. All of a sudden, it was absolute blackout. You couldn't see a thing. People were screaming and running around, banging into each other. It was pandemonium.
Were you in a subway car at the time when this happened?
Nope, I was waiting for one. The doors opened up just as the power went out. So.
And it gets hot down there fast, doesn't it?
It was really hot down there, yep.
And at this time of day, or at least the time of day you were there, pretty crowded.
Mm-hmm. It was already crowded just waiting for the train. And then everyone had to get off the trains that were already in the station, so it was packed.
And what happened? How did you find your way out?
Just kind of felt around with the crowd, just walked the way to the exits. Everyone was yelling, so I just kind of followed everybody.
Were people panicking, or was it pretty orderly?
In general, it was orderly. There's a few people that were screaming here and there, but most of all, it wasn't the biggest problem.
What did you hear people, if you did, hear people saying about what had happened? Were they just shrugging their shoulders, another New York event, or was there any concern that this might be something more serious?
No, actually, at first, I think everyone thought it was just a subway station we were in until we got outside and realized that people were piling out of the building, so...
All right, that's Gretchen Weinkamp, who has made it safely here and obviously, I guess, walked from...
I did.
...from 34th Street.
Yep.
Good for you. It's dicey out there. Thanks, Gretchen.
No
she
problem.
Was in the subway station at 34th Street.
WCBS News Time 5:03. And Frank Raphael, our news director, is here to bring us up to date.
I just wanted to tell you that I'm just off the phone with the fire department. They assure me that their emergency headquarters is operating fully, that all of the computers that are required to fight fires and track any issues pertinent to emergency services in the city of New York are fully operational. So if you have any problems or concerns about such issues, fire or police, go find a fireman or policeman. If your phone's not working, if your phone is working, all of the emergency services in the city of New York are fully functional. There may be some modest administrative functions in offices that aren't protected with emergency power that have been affected. That is not relevant to the question of the safety of the citizens of New York. We've been told that what happened was the power grid that serves a large portion of this country had a problem, and that is a function of that. The power system in New York, which cannot go solo, shut down to protect itself. Now, we are also told it may take hours, it may take longer than hours to repair the situation and get the city back in gear and back on power. In the meantime, we'll be with you to cover you on the situation. We've got reporters all over the city and all over the area, and you'll be hearing from them through the course of the day.
Okay, that's Frank Raphael, our news director, reporting.
And we do have, as Frank was saying, reporters all over the area. One of them standing by on the news line now is Irene Cornell. She's in Harlem. Hi, Irene.
Hello, Tony. Well, up in Harlem, people began to hear about this. They noticed, first of all, that the traffic lights were out and that all the lights were going out in all the shops, all the pizza parlors, all the delis. People are basically standing out in the streets, but they're taking a very practical approach to this. Mothers trying to gather their children, get them close to home. One woman headed straight for a big street corner ice machine.
Yeah, I just found out about it, so I'm just going to get some ice for the water cooler and stuff. I can't believe it. It's all the way up to Canada. Is that true?
That's what we're hearing, yes.
Wow. I can't believe it. That's why I was at my house, and all of a sudden, I hear the whole city and whatever, for real.
So she got her ice to keep the baby's formula cool. That's the way people are reacting, just calmly trying to take care of business and get home. Reporting live in Harlem, Irene Cornell, WCBS 880 News.
It's 5:06 at WCBS, and Marla Diamond, our WCBS reporter, is at 46th and 5th. Marla.
And I'm here on a payphone, Pat. I'm going to try to stay on as long as I possibly can. The lines are down the block waiting just to make this phone call because the cell phones are not working. People are just milling around here out on the streets. There is not a sense of panic, but people are getting a little bit edgy. They want to get home. There is no way to get home. The lines for the buses are at least 100 deep. People are fighting to get on buses because right now that is the only way that they are going to get home. A lot of people are hoofing it. And if they're looking to buy sneakers in any of the stores here, they have all closed. All of the stores are shut tight. A lot of them have pulled their shutters, I guess, for fear of looting. And there is certainly concern here for people who may be trapped in buildings. This is Midtown, a lot of elevators. They do run on backup, but there certainly is a concern. I talked to Robert just a couple of minutes ago who described what happened at his office.
At 4:11, my computer went down, the lights went out.
He was saying that the computer went down, the lights went out, and he is the fire warden for his building, so he tried to get everybody onto the elevators and get them down to safety. He says that everybody is okay in his building, but the question is, what about the other building?
Okay, Marla, we're going to have to interrupt you because we have Mayor Bloomberg on the line now, and we're going to go live to him.
Mr. Mayor, thank you
for joining us.
Mr. Mayor, what can you tell us?
I can tell you that something happened up in Canada or near Niagara Falls, probably a lightning strike or some kind of an industrial occurrence. No evidence of terrorism whatsoever. Losing power there for reasons that we'll find out eventually but don't know at the moment caused power outages throughout New York State, as far east as Connecticut, as far south as New Jersey, and as far west as Ohio. In New York City, Con Ed's facilities shut down automatically, which is what they are supposed to do. And I've talked to Gene McGrath, chairman of the board of Con Ed, who assures me that they have done so safely. The Con Ed facility does not have enough power to generate, to keep the city going by itself. And you want to make sure it shuts down without any damage so that when power comes back from up north, they will be able to start up again. In the meantime, there are no evidence, there's no major fires, no major crime scenes going on at the moment. The people of New York City are doing exactly what you would expect. They're out on the streets helping each other, behaving calmly. The MTA has been evacuating safely people on the subways. And now we each have to find a ways to go home. And our advice is when you get home, open your windows. It is very hot, and drink a lot of water. But you should, if you feel the least bit faint, any police station, any firehouse, any hospital, or I'm sure any store. We're New Yorkers, and we'll work together and help people.
What do you think? How long will it take to resolve this?
At the moment, nobody has any idea whatsoever. I'm in constant touch with Gene McGrath, and our Office of Emergency Management has started up their emergency command center. They're talking to all the power companies, but at the moment, the power companies do not know. And as soon as we know more, we'll get back to you.
Mayor, does it seem to be an operational kind of thing or an infrastructure problem?
Nobody knows at this point.
Okay.
There is absolutely no knowledge of specifically what happened, other than there's no evidence of any terrorism whatsoever. The subways are not working, but people are being evacuated safely. And sadly, people are going to have to walk a good distance, and then hopefully, if they live way out, they'll be able to get a ride with somebody. New Yorkers did this before. Tragically, we had to help each other after 9/11, and we did so, and we'll do it now.
Mr. Mayor, I know that you're in touch with not only with your emergency management people, but I'm sure with Police Commissioner Kelly and Fire Commissioner Scopetta.
Have them both right here.
Are they assuring you that any emergency services in this city are not being affected if they were to be needed?
There's no evidence that there's any impact on our ability to serve the public should an emergency arise. At the moment, there are no major fires, and the police commissioner assures me that the situation is basically quiet throughout the city.
On that point, Mr. Mayor, maybe you can help us on one thing. There were two reports earlier, and we could not confirm them, and we tried to make sure that we were conveying it that way to the people, but there were reports that there was smoke and therefore thought to be a fire coming out of a Con Ed plant.
There was smoke, that is correct, and it came as a byproduct of the normal shutdown of the Con Ed facility at 14th Street. When they shut down their boilers, it generates a thick cloud of black smoke. It was done exactly as the plan was put together a long time ago, and everything worked perfectly, and that's the only smoke. There are no fires going on in the city at the moment.
All right. Mr. Mayor, very reassuring to hear from you. We hope that you'll be back in touch with us as soon as any developments, anything else you can tell us, because there are apparently very few lines of communication open to the
I think
the
people should listen to their radios, because most people would not have power in their homes for television, and that will be the main ways that they can find out what's going on. But let me reassure everybody that the city is safe. We're cooperating the way we should. The great danger to people in New York City at the moment is the effect of the heat, so they've got to be very careful. Windows open, don't walk too much, drink a lot of liquids, and New Yorkers will get through this. The inconvenience is annoying, but we want to make sure that nobody dies as a result of heat prostration.
Just to recap what you told us at the beginning, Mr. Mayor, what we have here apparently is a failure, massive failure of the Northeast power grid. And
that
everything
is correct,
else,
and it started in Canada or near the Canadian border and then cascaded down. We don't know why the whole system came down at once, but that's what happened. Everything here in New York City is calm, except we have to walk down a lot of stairs, get out of subways, and walk a lot to get home.
All right.
Hey, thank you very
Mayor
much,
Michael
Mayor, for joining us.
You're welcome.
Very reassuring. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Mayor.
WCBS News Time 512. Let's go live now with WCBS reporter Fran Schneido in Connecticut to get an update from that part of the world. Fran?
Well, I've just spoken with ISO New England. They're the operators of the power grid for all of New England. And spokesman Don Slowey says everyone's in the control room now trying to get to the root of this widespread problem.
And also trying to figure out, you know, A, where the problem is coming from, and B, whether there's a way that we could send electricity down there another way.
Strangely, some areas served by ISO do have power, and that would include Massachusetts, southern Vermont, parts of New Hampshire, and even parts of Connecticut, the north-central portion of the state. But here in southwestern Connecticut and Fairfield County, we remain in the dark. Reporting live from Connecticut, Fran Schneider, WCBS 880 News.
Now let's head up to Smithtown and WCBS reporter Sophia Hall for an update from that part.
You know, a lot of people here, I'll tell you, they're actually afraid to leave their jobs because there are reports of so many accidents because there are no traffic lights. So a lot of people are saying, you know what, I don't live too far, I'm just going to walk home. In fact, right now I'm near Route 25, which is quote-unquote the most dangerous roadway on Long Island, and numerous times I keep hearing brakes squealing, I keep seeing near misses over here. So you got to be careful out there. And I spoke to Michael just a little bit ago, and he's worried about his wife because she has to drive over 30 miles to get home.
Cell phones are down. My landlines are down. I can't get a hold of anyone.
He just hopes that she just stays at her job until things clear up a little bit. Now, I guess I'm one of the lucky ones when it comes to cell phones. I'm actually on my cell phone right now. I'm originally from Ohio. I have a cell phone from there, and believe it or not, it is working. It is working clearly. But over here, again, people are just worried to leave their jobs. And at first they were worried, why did this go on? Why is this happening? But that seems to calm down a little bit. Live in Smithtown, Long Island, Sophia Hall, WCBS 880 News.
WCBS News Time 515. We continue our wall-to-wall coverage of this major power outage. Another one of our employees, sometimes called a staff announcer, but he's a lot more valuable to us than that, Bill Tynan. is on a Long Island Railroad train, I believe, and is having trouble hearing us, and I hope we don't have trouble hearing him. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Good. How are you? What more important?
Well, it's rather warm in here. They have opened the doors, the passengers, unauthorized opening of the doors, and many are making the run down the track toward a neighboring station that we just passed.
Where are you, Bill?
We're outside of Woodside.
And, so you're between stations.
Correct. And now the big debate on the train is whether we stick it out or whether you get to go to Woodside, and then what do you do from there?
Yeah, I imagine you have a pretty crowded car and train going home there. It's not going to be a real good idea for an awful lot of people to be on the tracks, is it?
Well, you know, I mean, this is an off-peak. It's an early peak train, so it was not a crowded train. It's not like we're sweltering in here. I mean, it's not comfortable, but the debate is whether it's more dangerous to go walking down the tracks in case they do flip the power back on.
All right, Bill Tynan on a Long Island Railroad train. Bill, what are you going to do? You staying on, or are you jumping down onto the tracks?
I'm not one of the more courageous passengers. I'm sticking it out for a while.
Okay. We wish you well. Hope you have some water with you.
No, I don't.
All right. Well, we hope to see you tomorrow, Bill. Good luck getting home.
Thanks, Tony.
All right.
WCBS News Time, 5:16. Let's go to WCBS reporter Rich Lamb, who's, I believe, at City Hall still.
We are here at City Hall looking out the east window at the Brooklyn Bridge, and we can see the colorful shirts and blouses of those who are walking across that bridge, flocking across the bridge is more like it, in the heat. A lot of people leaving their offices shutting down, armies of people here marching through the heat up sidewalks and across the Brooklyn Bridge. People said that they were at work, the power went off. In some cases, they were ordered out of the buildings. In other cases, they just left on their own. Donald told us what it was like at 55 Water Street here in Lower Manhattan.
Well, I'm on the 50th floor, but I saw the lights went out, so I decided to walk downstairs.
Where do you have to walk to? Where are you going?
To Brooklyn.
How are you getting there?
Walking over the bridge.
Did you expect to do that today? What do you think?
No, but I did it previously. I did it 9/11, so I know what I have to do.
A lot of people saying that these are crazy days and wondering what's going on. One man named Joe said that he was walking home all the way out to Belrose, Queens, so that's going to be quite a trek. We talked to the fire department to ask them whether they had any word about any explosions in various Con Ed transformers. They said they couldn't track that because their computers were down, and the police department, of course, confirming that this is a citywide blackout. Mayor Bloomberg came back here to City Hall. The lights flickered here briefly, and then we went on to auxiliary power. So those of us who were sitting here in the hall at first thought that it was just a momentary blackout, but clearly the auxiliary power went on in various places and could fool you. Meantime, people immediately started pouring up out of the subways and onto the bridge. That was our first clue that anything other than a quick flicker of power was going on. At this hour, we understand that the police commissioner has arrived here at City Hall. He is conferring with the mayor to give him, obviously, a progress report on how things are going around the city. Live at City Hall, Rich Lamb, WCBS 880 News.
WCBS News Time, 5:18, and of course we do want to update you on traffic and weather, especially traffic in a situation like this.
And Tom Kaminsky is standing by at the traffic center. Tom?
All right, it is difficult at this point to try to get information, but from what we can gather, the tunnels are really not going to be the place to be. The Lincoln and Holland tunnels at this point still have no power, so they are still being sporadically opened and closed. The fumes inside are certainly going to be an issue, is the word that we are getting, so that may be the place to avoid. Now, what a lot of folks are beginning to do is head up to the George Washington Bridge. That, we understand, is open. Everything is up and running there. The Tappan Zee Bridge, the word that we get from there is that is open, and the toll plazas at that bridge and that crossing are running. Now, at the Queens Midtown Tunnel, that is closed. That is for emergency vehicles only. The Battery Tunnel with only one tube available, and we have only one lane into and out of Manhattan via the Battery Tunnel. Central and Southern New Jersey, the power outages appear to be more sporadic. Just actually spoke to my mother-in-law in Cranford. There is power in that area. There is power here at Linden. So really, south of 78, it appears to be somewhat better. North of 78 does appear to be the problem. Now, the Garden State Parkway does have a lot of volume being reported at the Union and Rapid.
Raritan tolls, not as much being reported at the Essex and Bergen toll plazas, but routes 4 and 17 very heavy in through that intersection in Paramus. Now, in terms of mass transit, that is going to be a big problem. You heard from our friend Bill Tynan on the LIRR. They are not running, as are the city subways, not running. New Jersey Transit trains, the word that we get from them is that they will just be going to the nearest station and discharging passengers there. At the airports, all three just taking arriving flights, and being close to Newark Airport, I could tell you we have not seen a departing flight for easily over an hour since this blackout occurred. So at this point, it is going to be an easy does it afternoon and really just allow a lot of extra time. And certainly in Manhattan, traffic lights are out, so the intersections are going to be blocked. The Lower East River bridges, especially the Brooklyn Bridge, lots of foot traffic across that pedestrian walkway of the Brooklyn Bridge. Let's get the latest from the WCBS Weather Center.
Well, a fair sky now, but very uncomfortable. Expect highs in the upper 80s and low 90s to gradually settle back into the lower 70s by Friday morning with a clearer start to the day. Sunshine and hot tomorrow, highs around 90 again. From the Weather Channel, Charlie Sill, WCBS 880 News.
Currently in the city, 88 degrees, 55% humidity, dew point of 70. It's hot, it's sunny, but there's no power. WCBS News Time, 521.
The blackout of 03, a special report from WCBS.
CBS News Update, I'm Bill Whitney.
There's been a massive power outage affecting beyond the five boroughs of New York City. Residents need to just stay put, stay in their homes, tune to their battery-operated radios.
That's a New York City emergency management official on a power outage that's reminiscent of what happened in the 1960s. A wide area of the Northeast from New York to Michigan is without electricity, along with the Canadian province of Ontario. Federal officials say there's no evidence of terrorism. CBS News correspondent Dan Rather says it appears to be a mechanical failure.
All of a sudden, believe this all started in a New York City power plant which got overloaded or had other difficulties, and suddenly a cascade effect set in which causes these blackouts, these big power outages through a wide section of the northeastern United States.
In the cities, this means elevators have stopped. So have subway trains. New York commuter Kenneth Williams was trapped for a while.
All of a sudden, the train just stopped out of nowhere underneath the tunnel, and everybody had to walk from the back of the car to the front and come out, and we was in total darkness, and once you came out, you seemed like lost.
The Department of Homeland Security urges everyone to listen to local authorities for guidance during this power failure. No indication right now when the power might come back on. CBS News Update, I'm Bill Whitney.
WCBS News Time, 5:23. We want to alert you to some programming changes here. There is a Yankee game scheduled for tonight. The Yankees in Baltimore. We are not going to be broadcasting that game. We will stay right here to give you continuing updates and news about this major power outage. We will, of course, bring you scores intermittently from Baltimore and, of course, from Shea Stadium as well, where the Mets are playing. But we will not be airing the Yankee game tonight on WCBS Radio, and we want you to stay with us for continuing coverage of this major power outage in the city.
And before we continue with team coverage of this major power outage, we want to tell you that Governor Pataki has declared a state of emergency because of this power outage. Now let's go live to WCBS reporter Peter Haskell. Peter, where are you?
Pat, I'm on the Upper West Side at 86th and Broadway, where traffic seems to be moving relatively smoothly. There aren't a whole lot of cars out, and those that are out, they tend to slow down going through the intersection, looking around. I haven't noticed any problems with that. First thing that I did when I came out is I went to the supermarket to try to find some batteries for my flashlight at home. It works, but I just wanted to be careful. The supermarket is closed. That is an indication of what is happening to a lot of stores. There are a lot of stores in this stretch of the Upper West Side on Broadway. A lot of them have pulled down their security gates. They have decided they are shutting down. One store that is open that is very, very popular is Radio Shack. People are lining up inside. All the portable radios were gone in short order. People were looking for flashlights, which they didn't have. Some folks I spoke to said they weren't sure if the store was actually selling them. I got my flashlight batteries, and I spoke with Manuel Avilas. He was buying some C batteries for his portable TV. He works at a school nearby.
You concerned about how long this might last?
Of course. Yeah, we're concerned that this could be a terrorism threat. It could be the Transformers. It could be, it's going across state to state, so we don't know where it could end up now. So we're just hoping everything comes out to the best.
You're just going to stay put?
Yeah, we're going to stay put. We actually can't do nothing. We'd be on the street. This is going to be a lot of commotion. You got car lights. You got traffic lights out. Cars are going to cause accidents. It's better to stay where you're at.
And where do you live?
Me, I'm all the way up in the Bronx, so it's going to take a long time for me to get there.
Have you given a thought about how you might get home?
Either if the bus stays running, that's my best bet. If not, then I'm going to have to walk a long way.
Now, I should mention that the bus that runs here on Broadway uptown, there was a huge crowd at the bus stop, but then a bus did pull up, everybody loaded on, it kept moving. Every now and then a taxi comes on, someone will jump out, someone else will jump in. So people are moving along, a lot of people walking, as you can imagine, walking home from work, and there's a little deli that I can see across the street where there is a line out the door, people just coming out with water, whatever they can carry that they think they might need. You just seem to forget, you take for granted about electricity, be it filling your car with gas at a gas station that needs electricity, or using your phone, so many phones, especially the cordless phones you need to plug in. Obviously, you're not going to have email and those things. There are elevators, all kinds of things. Intercom systems to let people into buildings, these are all electric. People's lives are certainly going to be upended for now, and folks that I've spoken to just say, you know what, we're hoping for the best. We hope that New Yorkers will stay calm, that we won't have the looting we've seen in past blackouts, but others are very concerned about that as we get toward nightfall. Reporting live on the Upper West Side, Peter Haskell, WCBS 880 News.
Continuing coverage on WCBS 880 of this major power outage. We now go back to City Hall, where our reporter Rich Lamb is standing by with City Council Speaker Gifford Miller. Rich?
And Speaker Miller has just been looking out the east window here at City Hall at the crowds of people walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. Obviously, very hot out there. People not able to use the subways. The subways, we understand, have the third rail empowered, but their signal systems generally are AC power. Mr. Speaker, what do you know about the situation here in New York?
Well, it seems that there was some kind of a power outage in Canada. They're not sure exactly where, but they've cascaded down into our state and across other states in this eastern seaboard, Central America. And they're trying to restore it right now. They don't know how long it's going to take. We would just urge people to, remain calm, try to make sure that they turn off all unnecessary electrical appliances, so when and if they're able to restore power, we're not going to have additional problems. Keep your refrigerator closed. Don't open it unless you absolutely have to, because you want to keep food as fresh for as long as possible. The mayor is meeting with the police commissioner and the fire commissioner and is on top of the situation, and all the agencies are working overtime to try and make sure everything remains calm, and we just hope that everybody, I was looking out the window, I'm struck by how orderly it is. Everybody seems very calm, walking home, and, try not to overexert themselves. It's very hot out there, and I think the biggest danger right now is the heat.
Mr. Speaker, if you had advice for anybody who is thinking about walking home right now, what would you say?
Well, I might wait an hour. It's hot out there. I don't know. It depends, of course, on people's predilections. But be careful in the heat, because it really is hot. And I think the biggest danger is people overexerting themselves. You want to make sure you have some water and just remain calm. Things are evacuating. The hospitals have generators and are moving to emergency systems. And the police are out there trying to keep the streets moving. But everybody should be the way that New Yorkers always are in a crisis. Work together. And I know the mayor and the police commissioner and the fire commissioner and the Office of Emergency Management are working as hard as they can to get things back on track. And everybody just kind of hang in there the way New Yorkers do.
Okay, that's Speaker Gifford Miller live here at City Hall, where the power went out for a few seconds. Then they went to auxiliary power. We're on that now, awaiting the return of Con Ed power. And again, looking out the east window, we see just hordes of people crossing over the Brooklyn Bridge. Live at City Hall, Rich Lamb, WCBS 880 News.
WCBS News, time 5:28. Let's do traffic now. We start with Tom Kaminsky.
All right, well, I'll tell you, some of the information that we're getting is that at least on the west side, one of the worst and most congested spots is right in the area of the mid-30s. Right near the New York Waterway Ferry Terminal, just hundreds and hundreds of people there waiting for ferry service. And at this point, we don't know how severely that might be affected, but certainly other forms of mass transit are just knocked out. The LIRR, New York City subways, they are not running. New Jersey Transit trains, the word that we get is that they are going to be going to the nearest station and then discharging the passengers. There have been no departing flights at any of the airports for about an hour or more. They are taking arriving flights, but I can tell you, being very close to Newark Airport here, we have not seen a single arriving flight in quite some time. So certainly there will be delays there. The Holland and Lincoln tunnels
are a mess, and basically because they are being alternately opened and closed, the word is that the ventilation systems are down to some degree at either of the tunnels, so certainly that is a concern. They are being alternately opened and closed, the Queens Midtown Tunnel, for emergency vehicles only. The Battery Tunnel does report that there is one tube open, so one lane of traffic into and out of Lower Manhattan. Lower East River bridges are jammed, especially with foot traffic, especially across that Brooklyn Bridge. Now, in northern New Jersey, that is where we are seeing more extensive power outages than in central and southern New Jersey. Routes 4 and 17 heavy in through Paramus. Garden State Parkway with delays in through the Bergen and Essex and Union and Raritan tolls. Just spoke to someone on Long Island in Islip. There is a power, obviously the power outage there also affecting the island. And, of course, LIRR service knocked out. But there are no traffic lights there, no traffic lights working in any of the five boroughs. So we will keep you posted here. Let's go back on over and get the latest from the WCBS Weather Center.
Well, it's a summer swelter as we get back to 90 degrees, expecting a few clouds, but mostly sunny from here on out. A clear evening and overnight with tri-state lows back in the lower 70s, so still pretty humid as we usher in Friday morning. Sunny, hot, and humid again with a high around 90, but not as humid on Saturday. We'll decrease the high to the upper 80s and increase cloud cover. Scattered thunderstorms, too, along and ahead of a pretty quick-moving front that leaves us drier by the end of the weekend. From the Weather Channel, Charlie Sill, WCBS 880 News.
Right now in the city, it's 88 degrees. Skies are still sunny. Lots of folks walking around town. We have a major power outage, and we have this word in from the police department saying that the Williamsburg Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, and the Manhattan Bridge, all of them are open to outbound traffic only, and, of course, to pedestrians. So even if you could, in your car, navigate this city without traffic lights, you do not want to try to head into town on the Williamsburg, Brooklyn, or Manhattan bridges. They are open to traffic outbound only. The Queensboro Bridge, as well as all the tunnels, are open to traffic in both directions. Let me just repeat that. Williamsburg, Brooklyn, Manhattan bridges, outbound traffic from the city only. Queensboro Bridge, all the tunnels, traffic both ways.
And we want to let you know that there will be a briefing from City Hall, and we will carry that live in 15 minutes. We did hear from Mayor Bloomberg earlier right here on WCBS, and we will bring you up to date in 15 minutes. We will carry that live. Now on the news line, we have Congressman Stephen Israel from Long Island, and I understand you're stuck in traffic along with everybody else, right, Congressman?
Well, evidently with all of Long Island. About an hour ago, my daughter and I were in Huntington Village. Ironically, I was giving her some driving lessons. She's 16 years old. And we found ourselves with her at the wheel driving through intersections without any traffic lights. It's taken us about an hour to get from Huntington down to Dix Hills. The intersections are very problematic. They're really a challenge. Not only is the Long Island Expressway just jammed, but particularly the intersections on the service roads are really a challenge. And people just need to be a little more patient and a little more courteous and a little more cooperative than they usually are, and just letting people make the turns that they need to clear out those intersections.
Well, how do your fellow motorists seem to be taking it? Is anybody panicking, or is everyone just sort of taking their time trying to get where they're going?
Well, you know, I can give you two intersections as examples. The intersection of Round Swamp Road and the Long Island Expressway, which I believe is exit 48 on the LIE, people weren't as patient as they should be, just trying to step on that gas to be the last car to get through, I think need to be a little more orderly than they were.
Okay. I think a cell phone cut out.
Yeah, it sounds like it. There's an awful lot of cell phone. That's Congressman Steve Israel, who was describing the situation on Long Island, where he is a congressman, and perhaps we'll be able to get him back. We have been hearing about cell phone problems because so many people, of course, are trying to use them in this emergency.
Let's go to WCBS reporter Irene Cornell. She's in Harlem. Irene?
Well, in Harlem, Pat, the police officers who worked the 8 to 4 tour, a lot of them were heading home when they saw the street lights go out, so a lot of them turned around and just came back to work. I talked to Officer Gonzalez of the 3-2.
Some of us came back to work. So we know. We worked through 10-11, and we know how it is, so we know the city. I spoke with 1977 with the blackout. It was kind of chaotic, mayhem, so we needed to protect, you know, the life of people, and, you know, property also. No looting going on. But right now, we got to make sure hopefully there's only a temporary setback for the electricity, and then everybody go back to the way they were doing, normal.
One thing the police officers were worried about was people crossing the streets at the intersections with no lights and the cars just trying to make their way. So that was one thing the officers said, is they want to go out there and try to keep people safe getting across the street. Reporting live from Central Harlem, Irene Cornell, WCBS 880 News.
WCBS News Time, 5:35. Our continuing coverage, team coverage of this major power outage continues. From the Bronx now, Kathy Carpen. Kathy?
Well, Tony, I was sitting in the dentist chair with a probe in my mouth when the lights went out, and I guess everybody has a story to tell amidst this blackout. Question is, nobody knows how long it will last. I finally made my way home in my car a few blocks, found the elevators of cars out, walked up 7 flights to my apartment, found along the way many of these emergency lights in buildings that are supposed to come on in the event of a blackout are in fact out, and a lot of people are in the dark in hallways and stairways trying to negotiate their ways out and in. Take it easy. Another thing I found was at the store, the corner hardware, there was a run on batteries and flashlights had sold out. He was down to pen lights. People were rushing around with flashlights in their hand looking for batteries. And then they came across the street here to this little shopping center, the Food Emporium, hoping to find stuff here. And then I was told that the cops came around and told all the stores here to close down because of this emergency. I found the butcher outside talking about how he was worried about getting back to Jersey. He was worried about looting. And then in the parking lot here, I saw a Metro North truck. I went up to the guy and I said, what's going on with the trains? A guy by the name of Greg.
Just like everybody else, we're all shut down into emergency situations and trying to get people home.
Are there people stuck on trains?
We're getting them off trains. NYPD and Metro North Police Department are working to help people get off the trains. We're going to be running diesels and get them as close to home as we can.
What's the situation like down there on the tracks? Are there a lot of trains backed up?
We're all backed up, yes. Since there's no power, we're all backed up right now. But we are getting people off the trains and hopefully get them home safely.
While I was at the dentist's office, a woman had made contact with a person on a subway train who was on an elevated subway train in the Bronx that had just left the 231st Street stop going north when the power went out and people were exiting the rear of the train, which it just was still luckily on the platform. So people are, you know, some people are, I guess, are managing to get off those trains. Other people are stuck. Who knows? We'll find out. But the situation pretty much here in the Bronx, everybody taking it into stride. Reporting live, Kathy Carpen, WCBS at 80 News.
All right, Kathy. Kathy Carpen in the Bronx with the latest from there. WCBS News Time, 5:38. We want to remind you again that WCBS will not be broadcasting the Yankee game tonight from Baltimore. We want to stay with our continuing team coverage of this major power outage, bring you all the latest information as soon as it develops, and we intend to do that. We also intend to keep you up to date on the Yankee game by providing you scores as they come into us, but we're going to stay right here with all of our reporters fanned out across the city covering this major power outage. So don't look for the Yankee game tonight, and if you're disappointed, blame it on the power grid, the Northeast power grid.
Well, why don't we do a traffic update first before we go to Mike Zirinax, who is standing by. We go first to Tom Kaminsky for the latest.
All right, Pat. One of the things that we're noticing now is that at a lot of the transit hubs, that is where many of the crowds are beginning to form. Now, specifically, we're looking at Port Authority Bus Terminal. That crowd on 8th Avenue is just jammed in through the Port Authority Bus Terminal. At one point, it had been shut down. At this point that the buses may be up and running again, but there are certainly massive delays there. There are also massive delays on the west side in an attempt to get to the New York Waterway Ferry Terminal. That is crowded with thousands of people, and really at this point, that is one of the few ways to go. The west side, from what we could see of it, is very heavy up from that spot up through the 50s. There will be more volume up at the George Washington Bridge. At last word, the GWB was open, up and running. The Holland and Lincoln tunnels were being sporadically opened and closed. The Queens Midtown Tunnel for emergency vehicles only. The Battery Tunnel with only one tube available, so only one lane into and out of Lower Manhattan. The Mass Transit picture, LIRR,
not running. City subways, MTA, not running. New Jersey Transit trains, all those trains are, the word is that they are going to the nearest station and discharging passengers from there. There are arrivals only at the area airports, no departures currently, and we have delays also on the Garden State Parkway at the Bergen and Essex and Union and Raritan Toll Plazas. The word from the New Jersey Turnpike at this point is not bad, but certainly extra volume exiting and entering onto the turnpike at those areas. Let's go back on over to the WCBS Weather Center.
Well, a fair sky now, but very uncomfortable. Expect highs in the upper 80s and low 90s to gradually settle back into the lower 70s by Friday morning with a clearer start to the day. Sunshine and hot tomorrow, highs around 90 again. From the Weather Channel, Charlie Sill, WCBS 880 News.
Continues to be hot in the city, but you know that. It's 88 degrees, 55% humidity, 70 dew points. We got sunny skies, 55% humidity.
And we are about 5 minutes away from a briefing from City Hall on this power outage. But first, let's go to WCBS reporter Mike Zirinax. Where are you, Mike?
I'm in Commack right now. I just took a very brief drive through the area of the Jericho Turnpike. And what I'm getting here, a lot more curiosity than fright right now. People just simply doing their best to deal with the situation. The worst of it, clearly, the roads, the intersections, no traffic lights. It has everybody on the heavily driven roadways, especially like the Jericho Turnpike, where there are a lot of intersections and are a lot of lights. They're just trying to make it to their destinations. People are just inching along. This woman is a hairdresser. She was working in her Comac salon when the lights went out.
Honestly, I thought the terrorist got us again.
Get the work boots on, get the army gear going, milk them all.
I had a police officer in my chair at the moment, and she panicked and said, hurry up, finish me, I have to go right now.
Yes, get off to work.
She just left right now, went right back to her precinct, and she was off duty. Yeah.
Businesses are closing up everywhere. Everyone is hungry for information about what's going on, and I can tell you this, guys, it seems like all of Long Island right now is tuned into us, WCBS. They're getting their information from us. Radios just tuned into us, trying to figure out what is this, what's going on. But again, not much panic, an awful lot of concern. Everyone seems to be dealing with the outage. The worst of it, as I said, the heavily traveled roadways, again, without streetlights. Intersections are a real problem, treacherous in some areas. I'm hearing ambulances in the distance. I'm hearing police vehicles in the distance. And one brief example of how average people are coming to the rescue here. On Jericho Turnpike at Old Comac Road, there was a man in a hard hat, just a regular guy. Keep in mind, this intersection is massive. There's six different roadways leading into it. A lot of traffic there, and this guy just took it upon himself to pull over, go stand in the center of the intersection, and direct people along, get people through what really is a treacherous intersection, and everything seems to be moving slowly, but it's moving thanks to this guy. Again, people seem to be dealing with it. There's no panic, but an awful lot of concern. We're live on the North Shore of Long Island. Mike Zirinax, WCBS 880 News.
All right, Mike, thanks very much. On the news line now, Ginny Casola, who normally would be covering business news for us, but from her office right near 6th Avenue in Lower Manhattan, outside her office, I think just recently she's been seeing some people being brought out of the subway system and being treated. Fill us in, Ginny.
Tony, this has been going on for about 20 minutes. One of the special manhole covers that goes into the subway opened up, and people have been crawling out of this, maybe 30 or 40 at least people, and people are still coming out. There are also those grates, you know, that you walk over where you know the subway is underneath. Some guy actually managed to lift the grate by himself and was able to crawl out. At some point, people on top realized that he was below, and they helped get the grate off. And this man, who was a large-sized, husky-looking man, managed to pull himself out and climb onto the street. But people don't seem to be in terribly bad condition. Some of them look dirty, like they've been climbing through a dirty area or something, but there are some police officers here sort of checking people out, and it just isn't stopping. People are continuing to come out of this hole.
All right. That's Ginny Casola of the Wall Street Journal, pressed into service as a reporter. Everybody is covering for us all over the city, and you can keep it right there on 880, and you will know all the latest about this major power outage. how to deal with it, when it might be over, what progress is being made towards solving it, and how people, you and your neighbors, are getting through it.
And we are waiting for a briefing from City Hall on the power outage. So we'll go to Ed Crane, who you might know from Market Watch, and he is at 25th and 6th. And, Ed, we may have to interrupt you for City Hall, but what can you tell us in the meantime?
Well, Pat, I understand that. I started out around Houston Street when this hit. I was about to go on the Houston Street subway, the number 1 and 9 line. It was a nice day. I said, maybe I'll walk through the village. And I was on Thompson Street, and I noticed the neon signs at the restaurants were dark. So I said, well, let me walk over to the subway and see what's going on. And I saw people coming up. So I feel very fortunate that I wasn't caught in all of that, but it was kind of quiet in the village, and then suddenly people started coming out of their homes and out of the restaurants. The air conditioning wasn't working. People started asking questions, and in a great spirit of, I guess you could only call it New Yorkism, people are saying, well, go to the CVS. You can get a flashlight there. Go over here. This man's selling candles. Here's where you get the bottled water. But what's interesting is we are such an electronic society. All the cash registers at many of these places were locked, so it was a cash marketplace. If you didn't have cash, you were out of luck. Now, as I walked further north, I noticed that the prices started getting higher. A bottle of water now is going for $5 instead of the usual $1.25. As Mike Zirinak reported from Comac, we've got a young man here at 25th and 6th who's directing traffic, and it's working pretty well. Not too many horns blaring, but if you're trying to go across town, you're going to have a long wait. Obviously, the right-of-way seems to be to the 6th Avenue, the major thoroughfares. But it's just interesting to watch the transformation in an hour or 2 hours, how people just flooded out of their office buildings and homes. They're trying to go north or south to get wherever they're getting. And I think everybody wants to get where they want to go before it gets dark. Back to you guys.
All right, Ed Crane. And just to keep reminding you, we are expecting the mayor and, of course, many of the city officials we assume will be with him, Police Commissioner Kelly, Fire Commissioner Scopetta, to brief us once again from City Hall. That's coming up momentarily.
But in the meantime, we have
we'll
WCBS.
Bring it to you live when it does.
That's right. We have WCBS reporter Martin DeCaro, who's been waiting patiently to tell us what he knows. And Martin, again, we may be interrupting you for City Hall for the briefing there. But in the meantime, what can you tell us?
Well, Pat and Tony, I'm near Columbus Circle on 8th and 57th and above ground. People are dealing with the power outage as they normally would. There's actually a sense of enjoyment some folks are getting out of this. At times, all the traffic is blocked on 8th Avenue. No one's coming down the road because of the blocked grid behind it, and all four or five lanes are filled up with pedestrians. It reminds me of New Year's Eve when they have all the lanes blocked off. Underground, though, it's a different story. Some folks had to deal with a darkened subway car, stuffy air, and then suddenly no light. Here's McBecky. He just climbed out of a subway hole.
For a while, it wasn't that bad. The air conditioning had been on, so, you know, it was pretty cool. After a while, more and more people started flooding into the car, and as the car got more and more crowded, people got more and more anxious. I mean,
what did you think was happening?
Well, they said after about 5 or 10 minutes, they said that, you know, the train got, you know, there was a citywide power outage.
So McBecky and the other folks on that subway car didn't panic. They knew what was happening. But what they had to do, they let all the passengers out of the front of the train, and they walked about 150 yards in the darkness down the subway, the aisle, down the path to the platform, climbed up and made their way out. And now there are city employees preventing anybody from going back down the subway ramp because it's total darkness down there. Again, above ground, traffic's not too bad considering the circumstances, but the traffic lights are still out. And folks are pretty much dealing with it, despite the fact they can't call and talk on their cell phones. There's actually long lines at pay phones, and folks are getting pretty frustrated having to wait on the lines to try to call their loved ones and coordinate the trip home. Getting a lot of people slamming down cell phones, phones that aren't working. This is one of the few times that probably cell phone pay phones are in high demand in New York City, and some of them aren't working, and they're getting some people's wrath.
All right.
Okay, thank you. That's Martin DeCaro, our new reporter here at WCBS.
What a day to break in. Sure. Joe Zwilling is the spokesman for Cardinal Egan in the city. He is also a commuter. He's in his car, has just crossed the Triborough Bridge, is now on the Grand Central, and he's on the line with us. Joe, what's the trip been like?
It's been slow. The FDR Drive northbound wasn't bad, but the southbound was bumper to bumper, almost at a dead stop. It took me about 15 minutes to get across the Triborough, and now we're crawling along here on the Grand Central. But the amazing thing of the trip so far has been, in addition to all of the people out directing traffic, and saw plenty of that, people pitching in, not a single car honk have I heard in the hour or so that I've been in my car now since I left the office.
That's amazing.
It is incredible.
That's a bulletin.
People are just, you know, dealing with it. They're going slow. Lots of people letting other people in, you know, none of the inching up and trying to cut the other guy off. I think everybody understands the situation and are working together.
You're at the beginning, I take it, of the Grand Central, maybe around LaGuardia or approaching Shea. Is it bumper to bumper? How bad a situation does it look like?
Yeah, I'm just coming up to LaGuardia now, and it is very much bumper to bumper. It's actually moving a little bit better eastbound than it is westbound. It looks like the traffic is heavier moving into the city as opposed to getting away from it.
All right, Joe, we appreciate you calling in, and that's a remarkable observation that he had for us, that in this time of distress, New Yorkers are really reacting positively, trying to help each other through this thing. Not even horns are being blown.
That's pretty incredible.
Which is, it just doesn't happen in this city.
We should remind you here that the Yankees game, which we usually carry here on WCBS, we will not be carrying it, so we can bring you the very latest bulletins on this power situation. And we are waiting for the City Hall news briefing on the power outage, which should begin momentarily. But we will bring you scores, by the way, and keep you up to date on what is happening with the Yankees. But in the meantime, traffic and weather together, here's Tom Kaminsky.
All right, we just got off the phone with cellmate Ralph, who actually says that the Garden State Parkway, a little bit of a bright spot, is not bad south of the Raritan tolls down through the area of Holmdel, but north of Raritan up through Union and again up through the Essex and Bergen tolls. The word from the Turnpike Authority or from the Highway Authority that runs the Garden State Parkway is that they are going to be bringing in emergency generators for those toll plazas. And certainly that is where these bottlenecks are going to occur, at toll plazas and also at the bridge and tunnel crossings. The Lincoln and Holland tunnels have been sporadically opened and closed because there is no power there. No ventilation is also what that means. A little bit of an update on the Lower East River bridges. There is no inbound traffic being allowed all the way up to the 59th Street Bridge. Traffic is being allowed to exit, to go out of Manhattan, into Brooklyn, into Queens, but no inbound traffic. That is all the way up to the 5-9er. Queens Midtown Tunnel and Battery Tunnels are closed to regular vehicles. They are for emergency vehicles only. That closes that one lane at the Battery Tolls. Now, we've gotten a look at the northbound side of the West Side. It is absolutely stopped from the 40s all the way up to the outbound George Washington Bridge, even though the GWB is obviously all open. The toll plazas and the bottlenecks that will be occurring there are going to be a problem. And the inbound side also, some very heavy volume there as well. Also, just a note for you regarding a car fire on the northbound side of the Garden State Parkway at exit 98 in Wall Township. That knocks out an additional lane. The mass transit picture, at this point, really nothing is running. LIRR, City Subways, New Jersey Transit, PATH, all at this point shut down. The emergency plans are still being formed. The airport delays are going to be extensive into and out of the area airports. They are accepting arriving flights only. We haven't seen very many of those, and no departures since just soon after this blackout occurred. Let's go back on over and get the latest from the WCBS Weather Center.
Well, it's been a while since we've seen the mercury soar this high. It's been since July 5th. The holiday weekend was a very warm one, and today no exception either. Partly cloudy sky earlier. We'll continue with mainly clear into this evening as we hope for low 70s.
Breaking news.
Round 90 on Friday.
WCBS 80. Right here, right now.
We're going to go to City Hall now, where Mayor Bloomberg is talking about this power outage.
First, tell you, I've just gotten off the phone with Gene McGrath, who is the chairman of the board of Con Edison. And he is pleased to inform us that power is starting to come back from the north and from the west. What that means is that we will be starting up power in the city. It will take a decent amount of time, hours, not minutes, and nobody really can be any more specific than that. The first thing that everybody should do is to understand that there is no evidence of any terrorism whatsoever. For some reason or other, there was a power failure in northern New York or southern Canada that cascaded down through the system and affected the power grid as far east as Connecticut, as far south as New Jersey, and as far west as Ohio. To the best of our knowledge, nobody has been injured during the evacuation procedure from tall buildings or from the subways. There are people who are still in the subways as of last report, but the police are saying that the evacuation procedures are working, people are calm, and that they are getting out. A lot of people are inconvenienced, clearly. Most hospitals have power. One hospital does not, Downstate Hospital in Brooklyn. The police commissioner and the fire commissioner and the commissioner of deputy commissioner for Office of Emergency Management are all here. What they report in summary is a very quiet city. There are no fires of any size going on at the moment. There's no criminal activity of any size taking place or hasn't been reported. 911 is working. 311 is working. Things like traffic lights are not working. The police department has dispersed people to major intersections to try to help with traffic direction. The fire department and police department have called in all of their staff, those that had been on earlier and those that were scheduled to come on, so we are fully staffed. Our advice to people is to be very careful in going home. It is very hot out there. The water supply is safe, and you should drink a lot of water. You should keep your refrigerator doors closed. You should open your windows. It is also important that you turn off all electrical appliances, particularly air conditioners, because as the power comes back, Con Ed and the other power companies will have a very difficult time if the demand is 100%. So by turning off your air conditioners, you will, in fact, help yourself get air conditioning a lot quicker. At the moment, people are doing what you would expect them to do in New York City. They're cooperating. And if you are walking and you feel the least bit faint, go into a police precinct, go into a firehouse, go into a restaurant, sit down, have some water, and just be sure that you don't make an inconvenience into a tragedy. At the moment, I've talked, so you should know that I've talked to Andy Card, who is the president's chief of staff, and to Governor Pataki. Both have offered aid, but there's nothing at the moment that we think they can provide us with. We believe that our internal capacity is adequate to maintain public safety and to continue the process of recovery from a power failure. We've talked to the MTA. As I said, I've talked to Con Ed. Everybody has been as helpful as you could possibly ask them to be. And with a lot of luck, later on this evening, we will look back on this and say, where were you when the lights went out? But nobody will have gotten hurt. I think it's a fair statement to say that for most events that were planned tonight, the power will probably not be back in time, and I would assume that most people would cancel any events that they had planned. Be happy to take a question or two, sir.
There was some discrepancy earlier. You said that the smoke was coming out of...
Listening to Mayor Bloomberg, he has the police and fire commissioners with him from City Hall with the latest on the power outage.
You're listening to WCBS New York.
There was no fire whatsoever. My statement, I believe to be correct. Gene McGrath, the chairman of the Board of Con Ed, assures me that that smoke is what should happen when the boilers are turned off at Con Ed. What happens is Con Ed has to turn off their generating facilities when they don't get outside power. They can only generate power in the same order of magnitude as they are receiving from outside. When they get none from outside, there's no place for the power to go. They shut down their boilers. They were done, to the best of their knowledge, with no damage whatsoever. When that procedure is done, you tend to get some thick black smoke coming out of the stacks. That's exactly what people saw. There is, let me repeat again, no evidence whatsoever of terrorism. Sir?
You indicated that what was left, we'd have power tonight. Did you get any indication from Con Ed about, I mean, is there a reason for you to believe that other than hope?
No. Power is starting to come back from the various facilities. The power generation capacity of Con Ed and of most power facilities, maybe all, because we still don't know exactly what happened in Canada, is intact. It's just once all of this shuts down, it is a very complex and time-consuming process that has to be very carefully choreographed to bring it back up. That is starting to take place. It is very encouraging. But I don't want anybody to think that the power is going to be back for everybody in the next hour. It is not going to be. But sometime over the next few hours, in a sporadic way, people will start to have the lights go back on, and it would be very helpful if people kept the lights off. Yes, miss?
Will the city have to be deploying lights in any major intersections?
We have the Office of Emergency Management has started to do that. With a lot of luck, the power will be back before it's dark, and maybe they'll never be needed. But we have a careful plan, which we've rehearsed and practiced, to deal with exactly this emergency. And as of this moment, virtually everything that we had expected to be able to do, we have done, and New Yorkers are cooperating exactly in the ways you would expect them to, sir.
What's happening at Downstate? Are patients being evacuated or are generators...
The police department is over there. Calvin's talked to them. They've deployed a generator over there. They should be up, and I think there's no, as far as we know, nobody's life has been endangered, sir.
So at this point, there's no need or no plan to call up the National Guard for any extra...
There is no need and no plan to call up the National Guard. The governor certainly volunteered to do anything that we asked for, but there is no need. The New York City Police Department can certainly maintain order, and when you see all of New Yorkers on the street cooperating, it's probably in some senses an easier job for the police department and for the fire department. Everybody cooperates and everybody is careful, sir.
Is the NYPD taking steps to prevent looting at this point or tonight?
The NYPD has people at most major intersections, and I don't think that this is a city in this day and age where that's a real risk, but you may rest assured that the entire NYPD is out protecting the people of this city, sir.
Mayor, do you know how many people are still in the subways or in elevators?
We don't know. The MTA thinks that there's not that many. There are some trains under the river. They are getting them out one by one, and with every moment that passes, there are fewer and fewer. At the moment, it would appear that nobody's life is in jeopardy. I'm sure as people come out, they'll say they were worried, that it was hot, that it was inconvenient, that they sweated, that they didn't know what was happening, the normal kinds of things. But the procedures, as far as we know, as of this moment, all are working, particularly the evacuation procedures, sir.
Where were you when the lights went out?
I was just across the river in the city, in Brooklyn, as a matter of fact.
How did you become aware that something happened?
Well, I was actually sitting at a table, and it was pretty bright, and I did not notice that the lights went out, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said the lights went out, but... it's a bright, sunny day, as you know, here, and I think a lot of people had that experience that just all of a sudden a few things weren't working, and then you realize just how dependent we are on electricity. Miss?
Has there been any mobilization activated by the PD? Are we in a level one or a level two?
The police department's called, and everybody, do you call
it? Yeah, we've done the mobilization, and... we're at level two.
We're at level two.
We have a comprehensive blackout plan that we're putting in effect.
The police department has a plan where local precincts take over command in case their communication system doesn't work. It is another one of those things that we have worked at very carefully. Coordination between police, fire, OEM, Department of Health is here. One of the great risks that we run is that people die because of heat or lack of water, and so that's why the... Department of Health and Mental Hygiene is here, sir.
Do you have any more indications what the root causes of the blackout?
No, there's at the moment, Con Ed does not know, and we're relying on them and the other power companies for it. There will clearly be an investigation of two things. One, what happened, and two, why did it affect the whole system? Why were the safeguards that were put in the last time it affected the whole system not working? See?
Mr. Mayor, just asking you to put on your engineer's cap here for a second. Has Con Ed isolated itself from the grid, do you know, or the whole grid?
Well, what you do is you make sure that you don't get a surge, and then you slowly, as it comes in, you match it, and then make sure the power goes to one location at a time. You don't want to generate power to every place. You wouldn't have enough power as the generators spool up to do that, and you would just cause your circuit breakers to kick right out, which is not what you want, sir.
Sir, I just want to get more of your personal observations. Have you noticed how people are orderly walking across the bridge, and what you noticed returning to City Hall?
There's nobody that's a bigger fan of New Yorkers than I am, and I think you're seeing the very best of the best. When the going gets tough, New Yorkers pull together. They're very proud people. They're people who understand that we live in a very complex world together. Tragically, we had experience of dealing with adversity back on 9/11, but New Yorkers every day cooperate. There is a phenomenally low crime rate in this city. One of the things that got canceled today was I was going to meet the young lady who tragically was assaulted by a deranged person when she was here. She's back in the city and loves the city, and we were going to get together. I talked to her earlier on the phone. I think it's one of those things we're not going to be able to do. Her experience in New York City is very different than most of ours. Sir.
Do you have an accounting of the people that perhaps are stuck in elevators? What
sort of
priority is that for you?
The fire department has been to every building, and we're double-checking. We think that all of the evacuation procedures in all the big buildings work. A lot of people probably walk down a lot of stairs, and it's very tiring when you do, but I'm trying to get everybody...
City agencies mobilize other than fire and police?
Sure. OEM has a whole list, and every agency coordinates. I think some, like the Department of Film, Theater, and Television, don't have a lot to do on a day like this, everybody has been cooperating, and the city has continued to work, and tomorrow we'll be right back up business as usual, sir.
Can you say the city will be back to business tomorrow morning?
I would expect everything to be back to business tomorrow. You probably will have some traffic lights out of sequence, although maybe we can even get those done. But our expectation, assuming that the plan to bring back power continues without anything else going wrong, and at the moment that is what's happening, by later on this evening, it will be back to speculating where were you when the lights went out, sir.
Are there any additional transportation being in the place?
No, I think that it's not practical at this point in time. You couldn't get facilities. Remember, virtually all of the buses and virtually all of the ferries are being used anyways at rush hour, so you don't have a lot of spare capacity to bring on. The fact of the matter is you should not stress yourself, drink a lot of water. If you live far out, try to get a ride from somebody. People are going to offer you rides, and I'm sure everybody will get home safely. I'm trying to give everybody one chance, sir.
If you can't get out tonight, are there any places in the city?
We are setting up some shelters. We will put it out on the city website. Will it be on 311? We'll get it to the radio and television stations. Calvin's working on that right now, sir.
Can the police commissioner tell us a little bit about whatever contingency plans the department has put in place as a result of all this?
I don't know if you want to go into any depth.
Well, as I say, we have a major comprehensive blackout plan. We have something called a standalone plan where the borough commanders have everyone in their geographical boroughs report to them. We're deploying with OEM our light packages. We're focusing on the high-rise buildings with the fire department to make certain that the people are not stuck in elevators. This is something that... obviously on a much larger scale, but it's not something that we're unaccustomed to, so we're doing it on a citywide basis, but we're deploying our Atlas teams. We're continuing to focus our security on our sensitive locations, the ones where we have our Atlas teams normally assigned. We've kept that security in place. We want to make certain that no one is taking advantage of this situation.
Was there any moment where, before it was clear it was not a terrorist attack, where any sort of counterterrorism plans went into effect?
Initially, yes. I mean, we obviously weren't certain what the cause of it was, and our Atlas teams were deployed, and our alternate command site was activated. And again, our standalone plan, as I said, is in effect, but we use that in the event of a possible terrorist
event.
Let me just add, the
bridges are all open outbound. We've closed them inbound just because while we don't have any power, you don't need more cars on the congested streets of Manhattan. And I would urge everybody once again, turn off electrical appliances to make Con Ed's job easier when the power does come back. And try to conserve the water, particularly in tall buildings. In tall buildings, water generally reaches the upper floors through an electric pump. And if there's no electricity, a lot of the upper floors you'll find after a little bit of usage don't no longer have water. So if you turn on your tap and you're in a high-rise building, go to one of the lower floors, knock on the door. I'm sure somebody whose water gets fed by gravity will help. But we'll take two more questions, sir, and then ma'am.
Is the way that the power contract got prioritized in some way, your understanding, or is it simply how the plants come back up when they
fire? It is done to based on the needs of the power company and how their equipment works. No other there's no priority in the sense of we think one part of the city is more important than another. It is how Con Ed gets their power and the other companies. Remember, Con Ed is not the only power generating company anymore. We have a very complex, deregulated power world, so there are a number of generators and a number of people that distribute the power. And when I talk about Con Ed, I'm talking about a generic system as well as Con Ed, the company. Sir.
You were saying that people should accept rides. You have a special plea to make for drivers because outside people are not stopping for pedestrians.
Well, I don't know if people aren't, but they should. I think our experience the last time we had a situation like this was there were a lot of people that did stop, pick up others. Some people, I remember, criticized me for suggesting that you take a ride with strangers. But this is New York where people get along, and it's probably pretty safe, and I would not have any qualms about doing it. I think you'll see everybody pull together. There is always a silver lining, and the good news here is that while this is clearly a major inconvenience, let us just pray that nobody dies from the heat or an accident that was caused by this. And then if we get through that, we'll look back on this as another test of New York and another reason to be very proud of the people that we work with and we live with and that we have a future with. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Mayor Bloomberg at City Hall with the latest on the blackout of 03. Here are the headlines from what the mayor said. Power starting to come back slowly. He expects business as usual in this city tomorrow, said it'll be hours before everything's back to normal. This is not the result of terrorism. The city's going to set up some shelters for people who have no place else to go tonight. Find out about them by calling 311, the city information number. Bridges are closed inbound, and more than anything, people are calm in this blackout. They're being helpful. Everything seems to be going well. No injuries, no reports of crime.
And the mayor also said that you are seeing the best of New Yorkers, that everybody seems to be orderly. Also, both New York and New Jersey have declared states of emergency. Also, we should tell you this programming note, WCBS usually carries the Yankees games. We will not be carrying the Yankee game tonight, but we will be bringing you scores and, of course, the latest on this power outage. Also, I should tell you that there will be no Mets game. The Mets game has been canceled for tonight. WCBS News Time 6:11. Now let's go live to WCBS reporter Marla Diamond, and she is at Grand Central. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm not sure how good this connection is. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely fine.
Okay. Well, I have managed to get what might be the only working office phone in this area. I am at the Grand Hyatt here in the sales office. They've been kind enough to let me use their phones because down on the street, the situation is calm, but the lines for the pay phones are just several dozen people long. There are literally thousands and thousands of people surrounding Grand Central Terminal, which is pitch black. No one is going in. No one is going out. The buses that are going by are literally packed to the gills with people, and those buses are creeping by on 42nd Street. There are no traffic cops out to direct traffic. People are walking in the streets. A lot of what I am seeing is people trying to get some information. There are few emergency vehicles here on the scene just simply because nothing is going on. So people are surrounding cars, and they are listening to the radio. They are listening to us. They are desperate to get information. It's shades of 9/11. This is exactly what happened down in Lower Manhattan on 9/11 when people were just trying to get any kind of information. I met up with Frank Toro of the Bronx, who is a very popular guy. Lucky enough to have a transistor radio here.
Yes, fortunately. Listening to CBS.
And it's the only way you can get any information.
That's right. That's right. So everyone's a little panicky, but the information comes in right now, or everyone's calming down. It doesn't seem to be as bad as we feared.
Frank is at the Moselle's on 42nd Street, and he is in the market for a pair of speakers, just like a lot of other people. And the manager, George Ron Darcy, is trying to help in any way that he can.
Well, a lot of people are asking for speakers, roller skates, flashlights to get home, or just to be a little bit more
we're safe.
Marla, unfortunately, your transmission is getting a little dicey there, so we'll try to get back to you a little later. But we have Lou Zambrana on the line, and he was stuck in a subway at Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Right, Lou?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the train stopped right away. The power just completely went out.
And did you get off the train? Were you able to detrain?
Well, luckily, I mean, we were close enough to the nearest stop, which is Bedford Avenue, and everybody just kind of walked to the back of the car, which was still connected to the train station. A lot of people didn't even want to get off. They were afraid that because of the blackout that there was going to be chaos everywhere, not realizing it was still light outside. But on the most part, people were calm at the time.
So you just made your way out, and what happened when you were above ground?
Well, above ground, I mean, cars were running lights. There was a lot of close calls, and people just kind of not wondering. I mean, they were wondering what to do. Nobody could use the phones, and I mean, it was just a lot of chaos going on at that point.
So, Lou, has it calmed down a little bit where you are?
Pretty much, everything seems to be under control. People are kind of adapting to the situation now. You know, cars are being their own, you know, traffic lights. You know, they're kind of letting cars go and people cross the streets just fine. But there are a lot of people, like, still wondering what's going on outside their homes, you know, looking around, you know, saying, where did the light go, you know?
Right.
So hopefully it will get fixed soon.